So let's just scratch the surface of this business of Shuda Dadayini. We had in our Gemara that it was important that Rav Yosef informed Rav Nachman that this particular Rav Huna, I'm sorry, not Rav Ula, right, Rav Ula Reid Rav Eloy was a Talmud Chacham, and a great Talmud Chacham at that, because we said reason number one, the Mishra B'Tigrei, and then reason number two, Shuda Dadayini. So I just want to take a step back and go through just some of the basic pshat and some of the Gemaras that discuss this topic of Shuda Dadayini. And I think the way the Rishonim treat it, the first stop should be the Gemara in Ksuvis. So let's just go through, again, these are very fundamental Gemaras in general and worthwhile to just discuss a little bit in terms of just the push-up shot and understanding these Gemaras, and then how Shuda Dadayini may or may not apply in each case. So in Ksuvas Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, we have the case of Itmar Beis Shtaris Hayotzim Biyom Echad. So we mentioned this at the end of Shir last time on Wednesday, that in those days we were talking about a place where they did not write Sha'os in a Shtar. Generally speaking, it was sufficient to date the Shtar on the relevant day, and it wasn't really that big of a deal. So what was the case over here? You had two shtaris. So what kind of shtaris were they? Right. So Rashi explains they were shtare mecher, that when you sell, I'm selling my house to Reuven, and then he sells and sends another shtar, says I'm selling my house to Shimon. And Reuven and Shimon both claim rights to the house. And now we can't ask, we can't ask the fellow who sold it what he meant to do. And we don't know what to do. So Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says Cholkin, and Shmuel says Shuda Dadayini. Notice, this is not parallel to a different Machlokes Tanoim. What's the Machlokes Tanoim that it seems almost parallel to? But in general, we have a concept, Mamon Hamuto Besafik. Right? So we have two approaches over there as well. Approach number one is Sumchus, which is... Right, Mamon Hamuto B'Safek Yachloku. You have to divide the money in half. However, that is only a Das Yachid. But, I mean, it comes up from time to time where sometimes the Gemara will say, you see this Mishnah, this Braisa, this Gemara is in accordance with Sumchus, that they hold Mamon Hamuto B'Safek, you're supposed to divide it in half. But the accepted opinion, and that's what we're taught already from, for those of us who, some yeshivas, they start learning Gemara from Bav Metzia, so already comes up probably first time ever learning Gemara, is the klal that we generally paskin like, which is Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, right? That if it's mamon hamuto b'safek and one party is muchzik in it, then you say Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So that's the Tanoim version of what sounds like this, but in reality it has nothing to do with this. Why does it have nothing to do with this? This is a case of shtei shtaris hayotzim biyom echad. So Rav says yachloku. Rav doesn't paskin like sumchus. Right? So why does he say yachloku in this case? What's the reason? Well, before we even get to that, just in terms of why, what's the svara to say yachloku if we don't hold mamon hamuto b'safek is yachloku? There's nobody's muchzik, right? Nobody's muchzik. Neither party, each one is either equally not muchzuk. And it's not a case of, for example, Shnayim Ochsim Betalis, where each party is muchzuk. And it's Tosfos at the beginning of Bav Metzia. Ask that question. We're going to see, I don't know if you got a chance to see it yet, but the Gemara of Hahu Arba is a case also where we talk about Kol Dolam Govar, we talk about Shuda Dadayini, and the Gemara, and Tosfos at the very beginning of Shnayim Ochsim Betalis. Anybody ever learn Shnayim Ochsim? It's super hard. By the way, if you get a chance in whatever environment, Bezras Hashem, you should learn Shnayim Ochsim. It's also super great, but it's super hard. Since we're already learning Maseches Shavuos, I would strongly recommend that spend some time before you learn Shnayim Ochsim learning Perek Shavuos HaDayanim. Shavuos HaDayanim, you get a lot of the same lumdus and the same ideas that you find in Shnayim Ochsim, but you get them without the killer shakla vitari of Shnayim Ochsin. Just pashup shot in the Gemara in Shnayim Ochsin is really hard. And everybody makes a big deal about a tukful coin, which it is a big deal. But before and after tukful coin is also hard. So it's really, it's worth it. Shavuos, that's one of the best things to have in your back pocket. If you can do Shavuos HaDayanim before you do Shnayim Ochsin, I think you'll have done yourself a great service. Anyway, but Lamaisa tells us at the beginning of Shnayim Ochsin, when they ask the question, how come in the case where you have two people holding on to a talis and ze omer kula shalei and ze omer kula shali, so it's yachloku b'shvua, that's the din in the Mishnah over there, that they divide it up. Each one takes a shvua, and that each one gets to keep his half. Right? So what's going on over here? What about the case of Ahu Arva, where they don't say Yachloku, they don't say Shvua, they say Kol Dolam Gavar, Shud Dedayne. So what's going on over here? So Tosfos answers, in the case of Shnayim Ochsin B'Talis, each party is Muchsuk in whatever part of the Talis he's holding on to. In the case of Ahu Arva, in all these cases, nobody's the Muchsuk. And therefore, the rule number one when we deal with machlokis over possession is if somebody's muchsuk, and I don't like to use the term, possession is 9/10 of the law, but lemaisa, it's a similar term to the concept that in halacha, when someone is muchsuk, we say, amotzi mechavero lav haraya, that somebody, you can't take something away from someone else without legitimate proof. So whoever's muchsuk in the money, or whoever's muchsuk in the talis, or you know, or in this case, whatever the land was sold with the shtar mecher, if somebody was in fact muchsuk in it, we wouldn't say such a din. Here there is no muchsuk, and therefore we're stuck. We don't have the normal klalim to rely on. So Rav says yachloku, you got to divide it up in half. And Shmuel says shuda d'dayini. Okay. Then the Gemara brings in, this is a reason I thought it would be appropriate to discuss this Gemara anyway, because you have this very fundamental machlokes that they bring in of Eide Chasima Karsi versus Eide Mesira Karsi. What are we talking about over there? So there, if you've ever done Mesechas Gittin, this is super fundamental to that discussion, right? What do we have on, what is this machlokes all about? Right. What makes the shtar? Meaning you have a get. A get is the ultimate shtar d'oraisa, right? It literally destroys an ishus. It's mafkia an ishus, and this is something which I don't want to say mafkia. It's kores an ishus. It's a sefer krisus. That's what a get is called in the Torah. Right, so we want to know what gives the get its punch, what gives it its koach that it's able to do such a thing, right? So Rabbi Meir says, and everybody agrees, you need edim at some point. You need edim, right? You can't have the gerushin process without edim. You need, you know, and otherwise it's not going to be a krisis, right? We have, for example, in kiddushin. Right, so the Gemara in Kiddushin discusses a case of Kidshu Beino Leveina. Right, so they're Makadish each other in private. They want to elope, but eloping isn't enough for them. They want even their eloping should be private. They don't want anybody to know that they're married. So he gives her a ring. He says, Areat Mekudeshesli, and they are now living as husband and wife, or at least based on Kiddushin. Right, so what's the halacha? The Gemara says we're not chayish l'kiddushin at all. There is no chashash kiddushin. What, you're afraid they're lying? There's no lying. They both admit it. Right, so the Gemara gives a strange teretz. The Gemara gives a teretz. The Gemara asks the kasha, says, wait a second. Ho do as baldin kimeya edim dami. That when you have the admission of the litigants, it's as if there's 100 edim saying that they are married. So what do you mean? Well, we're afraid that somebody's lying over here? So Gemara answers, it's chav la'achrine. We don't say hodoaz baldin kamei edim when it's chav la'achrine. Right? So just if I, let's say you say to me, I owe you money, and I say it's true, I do owe you money, so now there's like 100 edim testifying that I owe you the money, that's very nice, but I also owe somebody else money. And maybe the whole thing is just I'm trying to get the money into your hands and I don't have to deal with him. That's called chav la'achrine. I owe money to somebody else. And now, for whatever reason, we don't accept my statement of the Hodoas Baldin when it's a case where it's going to, you know, cost somebody else. So similarly, by Kiddushin, I can't admit to the fact that we are married because now no one else on earth is allowed to marry this girl. And therefore, it's a case of Chav L'Achrin. That's how the Gemara says it. Now, what the Gemara meant, that's a good question. But the Pashup Shad is, that the Gemara says you need Edim when it comes to Kiddushin, and so too you need Eidim when it comes to Gerushin. What is going to create this Eidus, right? And, and Reb Chaim Brisker coined a phrase, although in the Sefer it doesn't say such a phrase, but this is a phrase that they use, B'shem Reb Chaim. All right, I held out for about 30 seconds without the commissioner. All right, so Reb Chaim is known as, this is a special type of Eidus, not trying to tell you the Mitzias of what happened, rather it's what we call Eidus L'kiyum adavar, right? There's two types of Eidus, right? One type of Eidus is where we want Eidus to know the Mitzias, right? That's most of the time. The guy comes to court and he says, no, nothing. All right. Is there a parak of Tehillim you're supposed to say? No. Most of the time you have Eidim, all the Eidim that we're talking about in Yanei Nezikin are Eidim Lebirur, right? They're clarification of what really happened over there. We want to know what really happened. So those are Eidim. Those Eidim create a Birur as to what the Metzias is. However, in Kiddushin and Gittin, we know what the Metzias is. We're not worried about the Metzias. The Eidim somehow create a situation that makes the Ishus work or be undone, as the case may be. Without these Eidim, you can't create this special chalos. You can't create this special halachic effect that we're going for. Right? And therefore, you need Eidim to be mashveh kedushin. You need Eidim to be mashveh get. And it's not enough to just do it in private. You need to do it in front of Eidim. That's why you ever go to a chasana. So the biggest kibud you could ever get, right? What's the biggest kibud you could ever get? Is Eid Kiddushin. Right? Why Eid Kiddushin? It's not really, obviously. The really biggest kibud you could get is Mesader Kiddushin. But they say, I have a picture, it's on the wall, right? Aaron Soloveitchik had certain hakpados, shockingly, given his last name. He had certain hakpados, one of them, and he was really, people have to give him a lot of akor sato for this, that he really brought the issue of chadash and yashan to the forefront of American orthodoxy. Right? The same way, for example, you have certain phenomena in American orthodoxy that became nowadays are dvarim pshutim ad ma'od. You have certain individuals or groups you have to thank for bringing them to the forefront. For example, there are women in America that cover their hair today, they really have to thank the Hungarian Jews for bringing this to the forefront. When they're coming over from Litva and Poland, it was not at all poshut that any of the Jewish married women were going to wear hair coverings. And but the Hungarians held tight to this real din. It's really according to the Gemara in Ksuvis. It's a din d'oraisa. You have to do it. But just sociologically speaking, we really have to thank the Hungarians for making it a thing, you know, that people actually do. Similarly, people who want to keep Yashan in Chutz La'aretz, which may also be a din d'oraisa. So you really have to thank Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He fought very, very hard, and people have lists of when everything is chadash and when it's yashan. Really, that's all him and his talmidim who made it a big deal. So he used to hold that if you ate chadash in Chutz La'aretz, you were pasul eidus. So if he would ever come to a, he said unless he said. So people used to say to him. He held, for whatever reason, I think, this is I heard from a Talmud, but he said he didn't like, the reason most people are Mekel is the Ramaz Svek Sveka, whatever it is. So the Ramaz Svek Sveka is why most people are Mekel, but there's also a different Svar of the Bach. So for whatever reason, Rav Aaron held that the only good Svar was the Svar of the Bach. The Ramaz Svek Sveka wasn't good enough. So people used to hack his chinik and say, like, really? Even Rabbi So-and-so? I say a big Talmud Chacham. They say, even Rabbi So-and-so is Pasul Eidus? So he would always say, no, Rabbi So-and-so knows the Bach. So he would say, he's Mekel like the Bach. I know he knows what he's talking about when he says, so sometimes when Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would come to a chasana and he, I don't know if it was dafka because of Chadash and Yashin, but he would come to a chasana and he would see the Masadar Kiddushin, one of the Eidei Kiddushin was not what he would have wanted, so he would always say to the aide, you know, this is usually a big rabbi, so he would say to the aide, why don't you, you're much more mechubed than me, so why don't you be the Masadr Kiddushin, and I'll be the aide Kiddushin. Why do I have to be the Masadr Kiddushin? You know, you're a choshev, you should be the Masadr Kiddushin. So really, he meant because the guy was Pasul Edis. So but... So yeah, it was something that he would do that on a fairly regular basis due to certain hakpadas that he had. Okay, so lemaisa, the greatest kavod you could have is to be an aid kiddushin. You know, again, sociologically, the greatest kavod you could have is to be the mesader kiddushin. But to be an aid kiddushin, you're actually the only one that needs to be there. If you're the mesader kiddushin, doesn't need to be there. You don't need to. You need who's the rabbi who married you? There's no rabbi who married you. You married your wife under the supervision of a certain rabbi. And it's not like kashrus and kashrus. Obviously, the food's not kosher until the rabbi blesses it. But kiddushin, you don't need the rabbi's blessing to be mekudeshes. It's not necessary. So
he does make a blessing.
Right, he makes a certain bracha, but those brachas are not ma'akiv at all. Right, so that's based on a takanas chachamim kol sheino baki b'tiv gidin v'kiddushin lo yehi lo esek imayim, that there should be, some many of the Rishonim say, it's talking about there should be a mesader kiddushin, a mesader gidin, there should be somebody in charge. But you don't actually need a guy in charge. Okay, so the edim, they're the ones who actually create the chalos. They're the ones who create the fact that the kiddushin works and the get works. So this is a big machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. Where are these edim? Who's making the shtar into what it is? Right? So Rabbi Meir would say, they're right on the document. Their names are there on the dotted line. They signed, right? Nu'um so-and-so aid, Nu'um so-and-so aid. They're the edim to the whole thing. They're the edim to the whole thing, and they're the ones who make a get, or any other shtar for that matter, into what it's, you know, what it is, and it gives it all of its chashivas, and that's Rabbi Meir's shita. And Rabbi Elazar's shita is, no, names, the edim don't even have to sign on. They don't even have to sign on the shtar, right? Really, the edim that create the effectiveness of a get, or the edim that create the effectiveness of a shtar, are we call edim mesira. They're the ones who see you give over the shtar. It's the mesiras shtar which creates all of the importance, right? Not the signing on the shtar. Now, obviously, this doesn't apply to a receipt. A receipt, what we would call a shtar raya. A shtar raya, everybody would agree that you need edei chasima. Otherwise, what kind of raya is it? You would need somebody to sign on it. But according to Rabbi Elazar, in a shtar, in a get, in a shtar kiddushin, or a shtar mecher, where the document is what's creating the sale, right? In those cases, when we're not talking about a receipt, shtar, this is talking about a shtar kinyan, where the actual mesiras hashtar creates the chalos of the kinyan. So there, Rabbi Elazar would say, you need edim to witness the giving over of the shtar, much more so than you need people to be signed onto the shtar. It's good to sign on the shtar, even according to Rabbi Elazar. Why does he like it when people sign on the shtar? Right? He says, mishum tikun ha'olam, it's better for the world. Right, well, just to have, so that way when you want to know, was it given over in front of Adam, you could look and you could see, you could ask, okay, it makes life better. But in the end of the day, it's fine without it. He also then says an important yisod, that if you're going to sign on the shtar, you better do it right. And you better be kosher, because that's called mezuyaf mitocho. Right, that's called something which is, there's an inherent problem in the shtar, and therefore you can't do that. But, sach hakol, if you gave over the shtar in front of Edim, that's what really matters. So over here, we want to suggest that the whole machlokes is whether or not we hold like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Elazar. Do we hold that Edei Chasima Karsi, right? And therefore we would hold like Rav. Why would that make us want to hold more like Rav? Why would that want to make us hold more like Rav, guys? If we hold Edei Chasima Karsi, why is that? Why do we want to divide it in half now? Right. Meaning there's no solution. There can't be a solution. Why? Because even inherent in the shtar, when the edim signed on the shtar, created the whole effectiveness of the document, there's nothing inherent in the shtar that makes one better than the other. right? So there is, by definition, no winner. There can't be a winner, right? Inherent to the case, there's no winner. And Shmuel, who would hold Eidei Meh Sirikarsi, why would he think that Shuda the Dine is better? Right, meaning there is a winner. There is a winner. If we could get all of Eidei Mesira on and we'd say, what time did it say on your watch, etc., when you gave it over, and we knew which one was technically the winner, that person would win. So we don't want to end this case without declaring a winner. Even if we can't pull that off, we can't actually find the Eidim or whatever the case may be, and we're not going to be able to declare a winner. But it's better to end this case with a winner than with everyone goes home half a winner or half a loser, or however you want to look at it, right? So Ravu says there is no there is no winner here. It's a classic stalemate. So he says Yachloku is better, and Shmuel says no, there is a winner and there is a loser. You just have to pick which one it is. He says Shuda Dine is better, and then the Gemara rejects all of it and they just say no. How does everybody really hold? How does everybody really hold? Eidei Mesira is Karsi. That's everyone agrees, and this is how we pask in the halacha, that Eidei Mesira is Karsi. That's what we need. And if you ever give a kiddushin, you give the kiddushin over in front of Eidim, you give the get over in front of Eidim. That's the ikar of halacha l'maisa. That's how everybody holds. But what's the machlokas? Just Rav holds Yachloku is better, and Shmuel holds Shuda Dine is better. All right, it's a different machlokas. Different machlokas. Why would Yachloku be better than Shuda Dine? Why would Yachloku be better? Why would, you know, everybody goes, gets, why is it better to call it a tie?
Guaranteed to give the right person half.
Right, you gave something to someone and you were right. And you gave something to someone and you were right. Meaning if we all hold like Rabbi Eliezer, there is a right choice to be made here. There is a right choice to be made. So you're giving someone to someone who happens to be the right choice. That's a good thing. And if you hold, right? And so if you so Yachloku is something good. And Shmuel says no. Why does Shmuel say Shuda Dine is better?
Because the best Yachloku is not the best.
Right. Meaning, if you do Shuda Dine, you know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you do Yachloku, If you do Yachloku, you know you're doing something wrong. You're at least half wrong. Ah, you're also half right. Okay, but you don't want to be half right. You want to take your chances and say that you are all right. You'd rather try, right? This is the whole Shaila in general. You know, down by two, game on the line. Should you shoot the three or shoot the two? Right? So Rav hold, you shoot the two. Shmuel hold, you shoot the three. Right? So that's the, right, so that's so it's a home game, they say it's machlokes. You go for three at home, you go for two at home, three on the road. That's old school wisdom. Can't be so old school because there was no three-point shot, but old school wisdom. So okay, Lemaisa. So Shmuel says you go for the win. Rav says you go for the tie. All right. So now we get into discussion of what is the correct shot in Shuda D'Dayani. What's the correct shot in Shuda D'Dayani? So according to Rashi, what's the correct shot in Shuda D'Dayani?
What
judgment call? What do we call a judgment call in this case based on what's the word that we like to use for judgment call in halacha? Or the umdina, right? An umdina. We do an evaluation of the guy's psyche and we try to figure out what would he have done? How on earth would we know what he would have done? Right. So it's very hard because it's almost as if the Gemara took care of all of those possibilities before they said Shuda D'Dayani, right? What does the Gemara have over here? So Gemara says, where does it come up? Right, so I'm looking in the wrong place here. Okay, so we have on earlier in Meseches Ksuvis, we have a discussion, right, where somebody said, I want all my nechassim to go to Tuvia. Right? Hahuda amar lehu nechassai l'tuvia. He wants Tuvia to be the inheritor of all of his, he wants all of his things, all of his worldly possessions to go to Tuvia. So amar,
What happens? So Shchiv, he dies. Asa Tuvia, Tuvia comes along. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hare Bat Tuvia. Here he is. Amar Tuvia. V'asa Rev Tuvia. I'm reading it wrong. Sorry. So basically, Tuvia shows up, and then says Bat Tuvia, Amar Tuvia. He said Tuvia should get it. So here he is. So V'asa Rav Tuvia, Latuvia. Amar Le Rav Tuvia, Lo Amar. Sorry, Amar. He said to Tuvia, he didn't say to Rav Tuvia. I'm sorry, I can't do. For some reason, I'm having issues reading all the Tuvias. So he says he didn't say, "I'm giving it to Rav Tuvia, Rabbi Tuvia." He said, "I'm giving it to Tuvia." Right. So he says, "Okay." So there's an indication that he documented one guy over the other. The inish the gispe hagispehu hagispe, right. So, and if there was one of the two that he was libo gaspa, right? What's libo gaspa? They were buddies. They were, you know, they have this concept of libo gaspa from time to time with, especially in Hilchos Yichud. Hilchos Yichud is very important yesod of libo gaspa, right? Because we have certain heterim that apply to Hilchos Yichud where we're saying that if it's, but that only applies in a situation where it's not libo gaspa, right? That it's, they're not very friendly. So if they're friendly, in other words, if there's a strong element of awkwardness in the relationship to begin with, so then we're relying on other heterim, baila be'ir, etc. But the Gemara is already in the Gemara in Kiddushin that says that if it's a case of libo gaspa, we don't rely on baila be'ir because we want, if the situation is not awkward to start, then we're not going to be mitzdar for certain heterim to those cases. All right, let's over here. That's the same idea of libo gaspa. If we know he's very friendly with one and not the other, that would win the day, right? And then asa shnei tuvia. What if two guys named Tuvia, no Rabbi Tuvia, two guys named Tuvia showed up? So then what do we do? So what do we do then? So shachin v'talmud chacham. One guy is his next door neighbor and one guy is a talmud chacham. Who wins? Talmud chacham kodem. Talmud chacham wins. Why? Why should the Talmud Chacham beat his next door neighbor? Right. Right? You hear? Did we say the guy's on, all right, maybe on a day-to-day basis he wasn't so close to all kinds of Talmud Chachamim, but you know, the old saying, you can't take it with you. People, they all of a sudden start getting their priorities straight when they're about to die. So the guy realized it's good. It's a good thing to allow Talmid Chachamim to benefit from my possessions, and therefore he wanted to give his possessions to a Talmid Chacham. So that's what we assume. But again, it's not because we think Talmid Chachamim deserved to win. We assume that that's what he would have wanted, right? So that's the idea. And then it says Karov a Talmid Chacham called him even closer than a relative, even more than a relative. Iboilu. Then we say shachin v'karav mai tashma tov shachin karav. Okay. Then we say maybe the neighbor beats a relative. Shneim krom shneim shcheinim shneim chachamim shuda de daine. But if all things are created equal, this guy lives in between his two brothers, right? He has one brother on that side, one brother on the other side, and they're so they're both brothers and they're both neighbors, or hu adinami if they're not, neither neighbor is related. Or who had the name? So everybody has the same name. Ironically, he must have been from, you know, I think George Foreman named all his kids George. So he must have been from that family. So he had two brothers who had the same name, and two cousins. That you find that very often in my family. In my family, we have that. Four firstborn boys, all named after my father. So we have. So they say, give the nechasai le Pinchas. So they say, okay, that's their four. Four relatives, all with the first cousins with the same name. So you have such a thing in a lot of families. So here you have no way of knowing. So we say shuda de daine. So this is going to come back to be related to our sugya in the fact that it's very important to keep in mind that basically before you even get to shuda de daine, you've exhausted most of your normal umdanas. Right? All of these things are umdanas. If one guy's a Talmud Chacham, so we do an umdana, we assume that he would have rather give it to Talmud Chacham. One guy's his relative, we assume he'd rather give it to his relative. One guy's his neighbor, we assume he'd rather give it to his neighbor. Neighbor versus... These are all things that, you know, al regel achas, somebody probably would have thought relates to Shuda de Daine. But in fact, Shuda de Daine doesn't even start until all of these things are taken care of.
right? And this is going to be the big raya of well, not the big raya, but one of the rayas of Tosfos, where we talk about Shuda Dedaine. So it's very hard to say Shitas Rashi because we seem to have exhausted all of these umdanas before we even get started. You hear? So Rashi says, what's the chab, what's the goal of Shuda Dedaine? It's the ultimate umdana. You're trying to figure out. You have no evidence. So you look at what we would call circumstantial evidence. You look at, you know, who was he better friends with? Who would he want to have it? You know, all these different possibilities. But at the end of the day, most of the possibilities are covered before you even come to the Shuda Dedaine. So that's why Tosfos makes a fairly compelling argument against Rashi in this sense, right? So this is, I think, I don't know, for my purposes, the best Tosfos to look at would be the Tosfos in Kiddushin on Ayin Dalet of Shuda Dedaine, right? So what's the case that we have in Kiddushin? Right. So this is a very hard Gemara to explain according to Rashi. Although it's not super easy to explain according to Tosfos either. So basically, you had a case, and you paskined, and then they go home. Let's assume 2 years later, they come back, and they're fighting over what happened in the case. So you check the documentation, it all got washed away in a flood. Right. Sometimes it happens. Things get flooded. The computer the hard drive got ruined. Whatever it was, they have no evidence left who won the case. So what are you going to do? So the Dayan says, I remember this case, one second, and Reuven won over Shimon. He was awarded everything. So the guy, so Shimon is screaming, no, that's not what happened. I won. So who do we believe? So the answer is, we believe the Dayan. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute. What are we going to do? We're going to recreate the whole case over here? Well, what's the best thing to do would be, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, we're going to go back, try to fix all the old mistakes and try to figure it out. All right, if everybody thinks that they really won, let's go back, bring all the old evidence, bring all the edim that you had, and let's do it again. So what's the problem with that, says the Gemara? It was a case of Shuda Dedaine. So says Tosfos, based on this, if it was a case of Shuda Dedaine, and then we have to rely on the Nemunis, and we can't just try the case again, so Tosfos quotes Rashi, Pirusha Kuntris, Bidin She'ein Tali B'tam, Ela HaKol Afi Ra'os Einei Adayanim. And he quotes the Gemara in Ksuvis, Ahud Amar Nechasa L'Tuvya, V'asa Trei Tuvya, Shneim Krovim, Shneim Shcheinim, V'amar Shuda Dedaine, Perish, L'misha Niznadev Leva Dayan, Lomar Sheze Hoya Oavo Yoser. You have to figure out, the Dayanim have to figure out, who did he like better? V'zen Nasan, and therefore that's the one he gave it to. Kashler Ben Atam Di Besvora Talia Milsa Kidapirish Bekuntris, Amailo Amran Dene Hadar Vene Dayane, Rishona. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, this is a good raya that Rashi is not correct. Why? Because if we're going to say, let's try the case again, and the Gemara says, now you can't try the case again because it was done by Shuda Dedaine. Why not? Try it again. Whatever, Mistama, you didn't change as much as you thought you changed. Right? Most of the time, people, even though Baruch Hashem, we hope and we try very, very hard to get better every day. We try. We hope that tomorrow we're going to be a little bit better than we were today, and next month we're going to be a little bit better than we were this month. But in most areas we're fairly similar. Most areas were fairly similar this year to the way we were last year, to the way we were 2 years ago, right? That's just the way we are. So Pasha says the guy's way of analyzing a case hasn't changed all that much. And therefore, the same way he did the Shuda Dedaine in favor of Reuven last time, he'll do the Shuda Dedaine in favor of Reuven again. What's the big deal? Yeah.
Why is that such a difficulty for Rashi to explain? Not every instance of Shuda Dedaine is going to be one where he could come up with a good svar, so then he's going to have shver svaras. And he'd be like, this is the best I got. So why is it unreasonable to assume that a couple of years from now he will be, if it wasn't such a good svar to begin with, it's all he had.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to keep in mind that Rashi is not bothered by this Gemara, right? Rabbi Natan thinks this Gemara is a good raya against Rashi. Rashi himself says what he says on this Gemara. So he's not scared of this Gemara, right? It's very important to keep that in mind. And like you said, Rashi thinks, you know, sometimes when it's not so black and white, you could come out, you know, 50-50. Sometimes I'll think that this was, meaning, how do I know who he was friendlier with? I'll say that he had season tickets to the Jets, and he took Reuven to the Jets game. But he also had a barbecue in his backyard, and he dafka invited Shimon. So, again, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Dayanim, but I'm saying, if the Dayan at the time was going to a lot of barbecues and he was enjoying the camaraderie of the barbecue and he thought it was, that's real connecting to another person is when you have a backyard barbecue and you get together and the food is delicious and whatever. It could be that at that time he would have come to the conclusion that Shimon should win because he invited Shimon to the barbecue. The Jets game, that's freezing out there and it takes forever to get there, it takes forever to get home. Okay, so you know, you got to give your ticket away to somebody. So he gave it to Reuven. Maybe he needed something from Reuven and he wanted him to, you know. Maybe if the Jets were better that year and he thought that, there are things in life that affect these types of decisions that we make. Right? I'm saying that things in life that make us think a little bit differently. Completely differently? No. Most of the time, we'll still come to the same conclusion. But once in a while, if something is going on in life, we're going to be medama and milso and milso a little bit differently than had we been in a different situation. Right? So that's a very, like you're saying, it's very easy to defend Rashi against it. But I think it's a fairly good point that Rabbi Natan makes as well, that usually if your decision is a judicial decision in some way, you're probably going to reach the same conclusion given the same evidence every time. You know? Again, to some extent, Rabbi Natan has to say, no, you see how little the decision is based on the actual case. Right? It's really just based on what the Dayan wants to do. The Dayan, for some reason, has to give it to somebody, he takes a chance, and he gives it to whomever he thinks is the worthy recipient. Based on what? Pretty much nothing. Pretty much whatever he wants it to be based on. The Dayan gets to decide what he thinks is important at that time, and he gets to decide who is the winner. And that's something it's so hard to swallow. Like, what? I mean, you just get to decide who gets the money. But Rabbi Natan says, based on all the different Gemaras that he sees by shooting the Dayan, he doesn't think that the answer is based on anything in particular, right? And I really think the best raya for Rabbeinu Tam is that it seems like it's from the Gemara in Ksuvis, it seems it's dafka not an umdana, right? It seems like it's dafka not an umdana because we exhausted all of the other umdanas. Like, who would he be, who's he closer relative to? Who is he, which one's the Talmud Chacham? Those are the normal umdanas that you would use. Right? And then, in addition, we come up with more umdanas. That's what Rashi wants to learn. You get rid of all the normal umdanas, and then you have to make another umdana. At a certain point, we got to say, like, it's just not an umdana. It's just, this is what I want. Why? Because I said so. Right? You'll see when you're a parent, you'll say that a lot. Right? So it's after the 15th, why? You try. Everyone thinks, oh, I'm going to be the type of parent who explains myself to my kids, because they're really going to understand so well. And, I'm not going to be authoritarian. And then, like, at a certain point, just it becomes because I said so. You know, it's because, why do I have to do this? Because I told you to. And it says in the Torah, you have to listen to me. That's it. So, all right. Lamaisa, sometimes when I'm feeling a little firmer, I said, because Hashem said so. Where does Hashem say it? It's in the Ten Commandments, buddy. Okay, but that's Rabbeinu Tam starts off with this as a very strong raya that he wants to advance his shita. Okay, moving right along in the Tosfos on Kedushin Ayin Dalet. So there's furthermore, he says, I'm skipping the raya from Gittin because we just spoke it out at length. Is lekach b'rabbeinu tam shu d'dayne de kol ma sheyirtza d'dayne lasos yaseh de hefker beisdin hefker. And this is very important. He says it works with the koach of hefker beisdin hefker. I don't know that Rashi doesn't think that it works by the koach of hefker beisdin hefker. He probably also thinks that, but he's saying that. Rabbeinu Tam says not only is hefker beisdin hefker the mechanism that makes this work, it's really the whole thing. Plus, it's also very important to keep in mind that hefker beisdin hefker on a normal, in a normal circumstance, when somebody is muchzuk, right? So there are a number of rishonim who say that hefker beisdin hefker doesn't work to give the money to anybody. Hefker beisdin hefker, the rishonim debate is it enough to just how literally do we take those words? Is it enough to just remove the money from someone's rishos? Or is it also enough to give it to somebody else? So here, Rabbeinu Tam seems to be saying, hefker beisdin hefker works not just to remove it, well, it wasn't really in anybody's rishos, but it works to actually be mezakeh one party in the money over another party. So it's important to keep in mind that here, that hefker beisdin hefker is working to actually give the money to somebody. Okay, but that's what Rabbeinu Tam wants to say. Raises the shuda loshnach shlacha fine v'raya l'pirush Rabbeinu Tam perik mishaya nasoi quotes the Gemara in Ksuvah Tzadik Dalet Amid Beis Gabi Shnei Shtaros etc. So he has the case of Shnei Shtaros where he says what's the big raya from Shnei Shtaros? Right. So where does he go here? So he quotes the story of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, right? What's the story of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? Do you guys get a chance to see that? The end of the Gemara in Ksuvah Tzadik Dalet Amid Beis? So that's an important piece of the Gemara there. So there. So he says, one second. Tosfos mentions it in the Machlokes Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes, where he says, I'm a dying and you're not a dying. Right? So he says, so let's take a look at that Gemara for a second. So this Ime Derami Bar Chama, Kasvinu Linichsa Lerami Bar Chama, Rabbitzafra, Lurta Kasvinu Lamarukva Bar Chama. Right? So he had some Chashev's sons. So first she gave it to Rami Bar Chama, then she gave it to Marukva. Asa Rami Bar Chama Lakami, Derav Sheshes. Ukmei bin Chasa. Also, Marukva l'kami de Rav Nachman, Ukmei bin Chasa. So, each one went to a different Dayan, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, and then he said, so each one was declared the winner by his perspective, or his respective Dayan. So, also, Rav Sheshes l'kami de Rav Nachman, Amalei, my time of in Marachi, why did you do this? I already paskin. Amalei, okay, two can play at this game. My time of in Marachi, why did you do what you did? Amarle de Kadim, because he was first. Amarle atu b'Yerushalayim yasvinan de Kasvinan shows what we're living in Yerushalayim here, where they write shaos into the shtar, right? So he answers back. Ella mar my time of it. Achi Amarle shuda de daine. So he says, Rav Nachman says, I did a shuda de daine. Amarle ananami shuda de daine. I also did a shuda de daine. Amarle, first of all, Chada de Ana Daina Umar Lav Dayana. I am a Dayan and you are not. So second of all, the Ode Meikara Lav Beteris Hachi Asis La. And second of all, you didn't say that. You didn't say you did a Shu de Daine. You said you did it because that Shtar came first. So. To understand the yisod of Shuda D'Dayane, Rabbeinu Tam says, look, Rav Nachman says he's a Dayan, and Rav Sheshes is not a Dayan. So you say, oh, how disrespectful to Rav Sheshes. So it's interesting, he was trying to be respectful. He says, Ana Dayana, Umar Lav Dayana. What's Mar? The master. You're a chashuv guy. And we know that Rav Sheshes was a gavra rabbi. He was a great, great Talmud Chacham. And Rav Nachman knew that. He didn't think Rav Sheshes was a lightweight. He knew Rav Sheshes was a great Talmud Chacham, to the point he's speaking to him very respectfully while he disrespects him. So Rabbeinu Tam in Kiddushin on Ayin Dalet explains. One second. That Gemara makes a lot of sense according to Rabbeinu Tam. Why? He wasn't saying to him, you don't know halacha. He wasn't saying to him, your judgments don't count. He was saying, I'm actually a dayan. I'm a practicing judge. You are not a practicing judge. And therefore, you can't do a hefker based in hefker. You don't have the right. The whole thing works because hefker based in hefker. So Rabbeinu Tam says, he wasn't telling him, your umdinas are lousy. He's saying, we're just doing a hefker based in hefker and giving it to one of the two parties. And therefore, who I decide to give it to, that actually sticks. And who you decide to give it to doesn't stick. Right, Rav Nachman was a dayan kavua. Ella pirsha country is the pirsh besvar talyam milsa malan a dayan kavua. Why do I need a dayan kavua to say a vart? Why don't I need a dayan kavua to say an umdana? She did the svaras Rav Nachman lo havi adifa misvaras Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman didn't say better lumdus than Rav Sheshes. It could be a dine mominus he did, but Rav Nachman was like the guy in dine mominus. But okay, but lemais in the end of the day, Rav Nachman was saying to him, you're not a dayan. Your decisions don't come with the koch of a beis din hefker, and therefore you don't have the right to do a shud of the dayane. Okay, so this is pretty much we got a couple minutes, but pretty much where we stand in terms of the machlokes and how it's going to relate back to our sugya. So I think we're going to have to wait to relate it back, but just a quick thing on the sugya of ana dayana of umar lav dayana. So we have this idea that he says that I'm a dayan and you're not a dayan. So Rashi and the Rashbam, they say, what does it mean that I'm a dayan and you're not a dayan? So they say, in order to do such a thing, what do you need? What do you need to do a shud of the dayan? You need rishus from the Reish Gelusa. You need rishus from the Reish Gelusa. We find this from time to time in the beginning of Sanhedrin. You guys see that? Those who are in the beginning of Sanhedrin, you need rishus from the Reish Gelusa, the Paskin Shailas. Right. Okay. So also here he's saying you can't do a shud of the dayane without rishus from the Reish Galusa. Why? And that seems to be the way Rashi would defend himself. It's not that like you don't have the koach to do a hefker based on hefker because you're not a dayan kavua. He says you need, if you want to do a shud of the dayane, you have to have rishus from the Reish Galusa. What do you need rishus from the Reish Galusa for? So I once heard from Rabbi Sobolovsky that he wanted to suggest that it's based on a comment. I didn't get a chance to look it up anytime recently. It's based on a comment of the Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram was Rav Avram Shapira, the Kovner Rav, and he has very excellent things in his farm. So he has a comment where he wants to suggest, and there is a bit of a raya from a comment in the Aliyos to Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah has a commentary in Bava Basra, where in Rabbeinu Yonah's commentary in Bava Basra, he discusses the parallels between the concept of Dina de Malchusa Dina and Hefker based in Hefker. He says, what's the whole koach? And he compares and contrasts the koachos of Hefker based in Hefker to Dina de Malchusa Dina, not just because there are three words that start, and repeat, but because that they work in similar ways. Right? That's actually a comment that where Rabbeinu Yonah makes a comment that he thinks Hefker based in Hefker only works to be mafkir nechassim, not to be mezakir nechassim to somebody else. Right? And therefore he suggests that Hefker based in Hefker only works because the government is really in charge of all of the property. Especially in those days, you never owned your own property. It was only like a zechus to receive property from the local government, which was really a zechus to receive property from the malchus. You don't own anything on your own. And therefore, you have to have rishus from the
local government if you want to perform a Hefker Beis Din Hefker, meaning Hefker Beis Din Hefker draws its koach from Dina de Malchusa, and therefore you can't do a Hefker Beis Din Hefker unless you have Rishus from the Malchus. Who was it that had Rishus from the Malchus in those days? The Reish Galusa. They give, he said, all right, you be in charge of giving, you have, I mean, a lot of times, we find this in Jewish history, a lot of times Jews were given autonomy to govern themselves. You know, they had like, in more recent generations than that, they had like the Vad Arba Aratzos. They had different, they had different Jewish governments that really were self-policing systems, and they actually carried out certain major takanos that, you know, that helped judge the Jewish people. So we're saying that, so it's possible that, what he was saying to Rav Sheshes was not insulting at all. He was saying, you don't have Rishus from the Reish Galusa to do a Shuta D'Dayne. Why? Because Shuta D'Dayne utilizes the Koch of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, and therefore you need actual Rishus from the one who gives us our autonomy. So, and that relates all the way back to the Malchus. So they're in Bavel, and the government of Bavel gave the Reish Galusa the right to govern the Jewish people under his rules, and then the Reish Galusa gave you the right to do a Shuta D'Dayne, your Hefker Beis Din Hefker actually takes effect. But if you don't, then your Hefker Beis Din Hefker doesn't mean anything, at least in the context of Shuta D'Dayne. Could be that you had Rishus to do Hefker Beis Din Hefker under the more standard of circumstances where it was you know, absolute standard procedure for a Beis Din to do a Hefker Beis Din Hefker. But you might not have Rishus to make a judgment call and actually do the act of Hefker Beis Din Hefker in a Shuta D'Dayne unless you had Rishus from the Reish Galusa to do it. That's why it's necessary to get Rishus from the Reish Galusa to be able to judge a Shuta D'Dayne. And not because we think that one Svara is better or one guy knows more Dine Mominus than the other guy. That's not the issue. The issue is simply, you don't have the koach to pull it off, and therefore this therefore you can't do a Shuta D'Dayne unless you have Rishus from the Reish Galusa. Okay, there are a lot more details that need to be fleshed out here. One of which is I don't know if it's the best raya, but another excellent raya that Rabbeinu Tam has to his shita is in the sugya of Holech Kischi. Right, so if you say holech kischi, holech lav kischi, so that's going to end up in a case of Shuta D'Dayne. So it's a very strong kasha against Rashi, because you understand why that's a good raya against Rashi. What is holech? What's the holy? We're not going to have time to speak it out right now. But you guys raise your hand if you've heard of this topic, holech kischi or lav kischi. So all right, so we're going to have to start again from. We'll start from scratch in terms of the concept of Zachin L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav. You guys know Zachin L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav? So if I can make you the owner of something right away, just by making some sort of a kinyan on it on your behalf. So then we have another. So that's Zachin L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav. That's when it's a positive thing for you. Let's say I find this. Sefer, and I know that let's say it's Hefker, there's no name, no nothing, it's an Aveda with no Simanim whatsoever, and I say, okay, I know for a fact that Matowitz always wanted a nice Oz V'Hadar Meseches Shavuos. So I say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand it to somebody else. When you take it, have in mind to be Mezakeh in it on behalf of Matowitz, and therefore it's going to be Zachin L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav. And even if afterwards you decide, oh no, I want this for myself, it's too bad, it's not yours. It actually belongs to the person to whom you want to be mezakeh. And you don't have the right to take it back after that. So that's the basic premise of Zach. And then the question becomes, certain lashonos, when we use them, tain kischi. If I say, tain, take this on his behalf, am I asking you to deliver it? I'm making you a delivery boy? Or am I saying, I want you to be zocha in it on his behalf? If I say, holich, bring this to him with lashon halicha, is that kischi? I want to know, are all of these different lashonos, are they synonymous with zachin l'adam shelo b'fanav? Or are they synonymous with lashon hava'a, bringing it to the person? So that's the sugya we have in Gittin of holich kischi, tein kischi. And the reason this is going to be such a big raya against Rashi
is, so you're going to do a shuda de daine on what? You're going to shuda de daine on what the word holech means? What do you mean? We're arguing about the meaning of a word. So you're going to wonder, was he good friends with him? Was he not good friends? Meaning you could be best friends with somebody, you're just not interested in zachal lav shalom b'fanav. What does that have to do with anything? Right? So he's like, I want to prove how close they are. So if I'm better friends with you, then holich is kischi. And if I'm not good friends with you, holich is lav kischi. What does that have to do with anything? Elamai, it ends up that Rashi is learning, when you do a shuda d'dayin in holich kischi, it's changing the sugya according to every single case. You're doing a new umdana of holich kischi every single time. Okay, that's not so posh. It's not so posh. Okay, so that's what we'll try to work on that at some point. Okay.